If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret. Searching for the sound. This is The Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Now, here's Ira.
We've been touting Nugs.net for a while, but for those of you who don't know, Nugs.net is the destination for live music on demand. They have a growing collection of over 15,000 full-length concert recordings from bands like Umphrey's McGee, Green Sky Bluegrass, and Spafford, so you'll never run out of live music to explore. You can listen to a show from last night or from 40 years ago. You can hear our favorite picks every Wednesday on Live 5, powered by Nugs.net on this very podcast. It's available on desktop, iOS, and Android apps, Sonos, and BlueOS. Just like us, the folks at Nugs.net are live music fans, so they're offering new subscribers a 35% discount on an annual subscription. Go to nugs.net/thesound and sign up today. If you already have a subscription, give the gift of live music to a friend. There's nothing better. Again, nugs.net/thesound for 35% off an annual subscription. The show starts now.
I want to do it with you. I want to live in hippie land. Don't you want to live there too? Do it with you.
You've been listening to Hippie Dance from Cisco Adler's solo record, Hippie Land. If you're initially shocked that this hip-hop producer has the chops to pull off such a track, give your head a shake and think again. Adler's father, Lou Adler, produced some of the greatest musicians we know of, including the Mamas and the Papas and Carole King. In fact, this laid-back, chill vibe, this very genuine hippie thing that Adler has rediscovered in his latest record, is part of his DNA. Sure, he's collaborated and won Grammys for his daytime gig, but one spin of Hippie Land, you'll get that, this is exactly where the dude should be. He counts people like G Love and Donovan Frankenreiter as co-conspirators in a trio called Jamtown, and that's what actually led me back to checking out his music. With Hippie Land out, we decided to catch up with Cisco, and our conversation started when I asked about the inspiration for making such an honest and stripped down solo record.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, Jamtown was definitely a critical point because I think that music felt so good and so at home for me at this time in my life. And then, you know, I was planning on just producing that record for Donovan and G, and they sort of pulled me out of retirement as far as touring goes. And I just got the bug again, you know, and I think from that, it inspired me to sort of, you know, write a bunch of songs in that sort of sound. And as I did that, you know, it always happens with me like that. I start writing and all of a sudden I'm like, oh, fuck, this is a record, you know?
Right. So I
think it was just time, you know what I mean? I kind of don't ever plot my course too far in advance. And I let the universe tell me what to do. And there was a bunch of signs pointing to go to Hippie Land.
It's probably a very natural thing for you to do to go to Hippie Land, given your lineage and the records that Dad produced. I mean, this is part of your DNA, this Hippie Land thing, whether it's, you know, Mamas and the Papas or some Janis or Carole King. I mean, this is who you are, right?
Yeah, it was definitely, and I know I sort of realized that in the midst of it more and more, but it's a return to form for me in many ways, and sort of, you know, Hippie Land isn't a new place to go to. It's going home for me. You know, whether it was, you know, yeah, being a small child and just in the, just around all that energy that was going on, or, you know, my mom, when I was 9, she told me to pack up my things and we moved to Hawaii.
Right.
And I went to school barefooted and I picked mushrooms after it rained. And I sort of found and became myself there, you know? So as now I'm a father and I'm looking at my kid and I'm a family man, I was like, wow, I just need to return to what makes me feel at home. And that was this. So,
Was it different writing for yourself than, say, for Shwayze or other acts that you've, you know, co-written on? I mean, is it more genuine, more authentic because it's you and your voice and you're not writing for somebody else?
You know, I think the first Shwayze album for sure was very personal to me too. And I think a lot of the stories and the narrative was definitely taken from my personal life at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, over the years writing and producing for other people, I have to put on their hat and I have to get into their mind. And I also have labels and managers and, you know, all these sort of extraneous sort of, you know, influences on those songs or records. And, you know, it's nice because all of that pays the bills.
Yeah.
When it comes time to write for myself and put out a record for myself, it really is just very pure. And I don't have to try to follow trends and I don't have to try to hit a certain mark in order to make sure a team gets behind it. So I think it's just, you know, it's definitely a personal record. It's definitely, you know, a lot of feelings I'm having right now. One, just being blessed to do what I do. And two, you know, trying to put out positive energy to get positive energy in return. But yeah, it's definitely a freer situation.
Right. Are you harder on yourself when you write and produce your own record than when you're collaborating with others? Is it more intense? Are you is there more scrutiny that goes into vocal versus instrumentation, the chorus, what with the hook?
Well, yeah, I think so. Only because usually I'm scrutinizing another person in the vocal booth, right? Or telling right. them where I think they need to, you know, push it or sing it either better or more authentically, or, you know, I kind of, singing is acting, right? So it has to feel like the truth in order for someone else to believe it. So I think in that sense, yes, but I also just kind of become a vessel when it's me writing for me, and I just let it come out, you know? And I think maybe subconsciously I've learned to switch hats during that process, and you know, I've learned how to produce myself. But at the same time, I really want it to be organic and authentic, and a lot of the melodies are just, you know, they just come out. And I kind of think, rather than when I'm working on, say, a pop record or a hip hop record with more of a pop hook or something, you know, it's less about architecting a melody that I think will, you know, translate onto the charts, and more about architecting and singing a melody that will just hit the heart.
Right. Right. But certainly when you're you know, choreographing for other people, the idea is to make hits. I mean, you're getting paid to at some point make hits for these people, right? Like, it's a totally different concentration than when you're making your own record, I would imagine. You're less worried about making hits, I guess.
Yeah, I'm more, and it's not a worry. I'm more concentrated on making music that will stand the test of time for me personally, that I'll look back on and I'll be proud of what it was and what it is, and that it holds up, you know. And I try to do that with other people too, but there's of course, you know, you're trying to make successful records, right?
Right.
And with this, I think the term success is defined differently, right? It's success with me being content and happy that it will, that I'll be proud of it years down the line, and that it's a time capsule of who I am, and that I can look back and be like, wow, I did something authentic.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. And as I said, you know, I wasn't, you know, blowing smoke up your ass. I truly believe that this is a very authentic record, and it's very raw. Let's talk about the production. For just a sec, I mean, I don't want to get lost in some of that stuff, because, frankly, the audience doesn't care that much about it. But you went back to Banana Beat Studios in Malibu. You wrote all the songs. You produced the whole record. It's you playing acoustic and bass. And I guess the only other person aside from, you know, G, who sits in on the song, and Cody and Posner, is Martin Estrada, who's there on electric guitar. That's it, right? I mean, it's that stripped down to really you and just a few other people.
Yeah, that's it, man. You know, which is awesome. I fell in love with the bass over the last 2 or 3 years, so I just love playing bass. The songs got to a point where then I'm, you know, I always seem to find a lead guitarist every album or chapter, mm-hmm. That I just love working with, and becomes the sort of last color of paint on everything,
right?
You know,
yeah.
And Martin now has been playing with me live, and he's just awesome. So it's cool that I always seem to find someone like it. It's happenstance, but it's perfect timing.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the songs. The first one is the first single. It's weird to say single in 2019. But, Something More is, according to the publicity material that I got, the first single. And it's this bluesy, well, they're all laid back. I don't, you know, they're all pretty chill. But Posner and Cody are on the record. What made you decide that this was going to be the introduction to Hippie Land?
I think in today's world, and like you said, it's interesting to even say the word single, because every song is a single now, right? Because people will choose the one they want to stream or download, right? They can break it off of the album if they want to.
But when I
reached out to those cats who are just, you know, great friends and collaborators, I felt that it was a cool introduction musically because of the great riff that just grabs you right out the gate.
Yes.
And then the message to me is really like the heart of this thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is about being content with what you have and being okay with wanting more, you know?
Yeah.
And I just felt like getting those guys on it, but not in a feature way that was almost, you know, a sort of architected or desperate way to grab attention. It was more of a subtle, true collaboration, and they together our voices sounded awesome, and I felt like it was an Easter egg that people could maybe find out about and expose, you know, others who may not be or may not have me on the radar to this album that's coming.
It's interesting that the theme is it's okay, or can you can be content with what you have and still want more. You know, you're an in-demand producer. You have a gorgeous model wife. You seem to be doing okay for yourself. You have a family now. You would think that you would be pretty content. Is it always striving for more? Is that what drives you and what motivates you?
Happiness motivates me. So,
right.
So more happiness, right?
Yeah.
And I definitely, now that I have a child, I want more for him every day. Right.
Right.
I want to be able to, you know, take him more places, expose him to more things, give him more freedom to be himself. Now it's more about him than me, you know?
Right. Well, certainly this record is a great record for him to listen to, like now or in the future. I mean, it's really great from that point of view.
And then, you know, just to note, I also want to make music that I can play till I'm old, right?
Right.
And music that he can hear, and it's not something that has to be explained because it has either interesting language or, you know, a lot of the hip hop stuff has a misogynistic sort of hint to it every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
And this, I feel like, is maybe just a handbook for him to go through life, you know?
Right. Well, speaking of going through life and having a handbook, a toddler does dance on their own to their own kind of thing. Hippie dance is a lot like that. I mean, you are talking about wanting to hang out and get lost in that experience, whatever the hippie dance is for some people. And, you know, for me, at least, as somebody who does get lost at festivals or at shows, just being on my own and going with the vibe, it's interesting that you've picked up on that. And I would imagine that that's something that's very comforting, like going home to Hippie Land. The hippie dance, too, is very comforting, right?
Yeah, man, I love when people dance like no one's watching.
Yeah.
I love when, you know, especially being on stage and looking out into the audience, when they're individually, but also at the same time, collectively moving and wiggling and creating this ocean of energy, you know?
Yeah.
And I think you find that more prevalent at jammy, rootsy shows, you know? And hippies tend to live by the beat of their own drum and dance to it as well.
Right.
And also, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen it. There's this, you know, obviously the book, The Tipping Point, there's a video that I found one time online, which talks about the tipping point, and it relates it in reference to a festival where you know, there's always one person who has to start a movement, and it's that one person who was unafraid of everyone watching them do the dance.
Right.
And slowly people start getting attracted to it. And after one, it's two and three and four. And by the time it's 100, it's really easy for everyone to join it,
yeah.
You know? So that's always resonated with me. And I think that was sort of a thought I had when I was writing this.
You certainly don't see people dancing like that at a G-Eazy show or a Shwayze show or whatever, right? I mean,
no, you know what? The Shwayze stuff definitely had this hippie, free-feeling vibe to it. So I think we did sort of hit on something with that record that was way more than at least hip-hop at the time.
Right.
But yeah, a lot of the music I work on, that's not what it is. And it's a lot of the music nowadays is about the person performing it rather than the collective energy of the people in the audience. And when I play, I'm playing as an energy transfer to them. I'm not saying look at me, I'm saying look at us or be with us, you know what I mean, and dance with me.
Sunday vibe, well, it's that Jamtown vibe, right? I mean, G Love, and it's exactly hits the mark, and it's certainly reminiscent of the songs that you played with those guys or the songs that they certainly play on their own. Again, it's just one of these songs that I think we can all relate to because it is about just, you know, having a good time with your woman and chill and being chill.
Yeah, exactly. That one's about finding the person that makes you feel like that every day.
Right.
And I'm just a big advocate of finding true love, and obviously because I found it, or I was lucky enough to bump into it, and she accepted me. But I think, you know, there is such a thing as true love, and when you find it, you wake up every day feeling awesome, and you look over and you go, wow, I'm so thankful this person is here and is willing to share this adventure with me, you know? And my wife makes me feel like every day's a Sunday.
Awesome. Party in the Bed. So you obviously wrote this song on your own, but the only thing I can say is that you've spent a lot of time with Frankenreiter, because to me, he always does seem to, you know, get there somehow in all his music.
He's awesome.
Yeah. And that's why we love him. But, you know, that vibe of, you know, not just being happy that you found love, but that you are living a life with either that person or more generally with your friends and family and just having a really good time is so critical to the theme of the record.
Yeah, you know what? I was kind of also like channeling Ringo, I feel like, a little bit, and sort of the Yellow Submarine sort of vibe, and Octopus Garden, you know?
Right.
And I kind of wanted to write a children's song with that one, I feel like. and just the idea of, you know, staying in your pajamas, pitching a blanket tent, and inviting everyone to come into it and you know, singing music and dancing in the bed. And that one was one I didn't want to clog up with production. You know, I didn't even want to put bass on it or drums. It's really just a stomp and a clap. And there was a version where I added a bunch of guitar, but I took it off and I kept peeling this one back and peeling the onion back to just the core of it because I think it's a message song.
It's so great. I'm just looking at the website right now. This Hippie Dance visual thing. Who put this together? This YouTube video, because it's out there.
Oh, it's awesome. So it's so funny because right at the beginning of putting out snippets of the music, this animator hit me. His name is Andre Soler, and he's like, dude, I hope it's okay. I put something together for you. And it was one of the first cartoons, right? It was the Hippie Dance one, the first one I put out, which is like me as a giant and a bunch of little hippies around me. and I was like, holy shit, it's more than okay. You just fucking, like, you completed the sentence for me visually. And will you make more? Can we keep doing this? And it wasn't me going out and hiring someone and telling them what I thought. It was a young artist saying, wow, this inspired me. And here, I wanted to show you it. And to me, that was so pure and awesome. And now it's become a visual theme of the entire album. And hopefully we make a cartoon of this. Cause I think, you know, my idea is that it's a guy who's sort of stuck in the box of real life. And he finds this magical pair of boots and a hat. And he puts them on and he's transported to hippie life.
And you've obviously taken that flight yourself, right? I mean, there's a picture of you running butt naked, pixelated.
Exactly.
Thank you, by the way. Thank you for pixelating it. We appreciate that.
I'll tell you what, I only pixelated it so iTunes and Spotify didn't take it
down. Fair enough. But I
had a portion of my life that I call the naked years where I was really naked a lot. And I've always been almost more comfortable naked. And I think, you know, that's the hippie way. Right. And I don't think nudity is something to be scared of or to worry about. I think you have to love yourself because we come out naked. And if you look at little kids, they're naked everywhere. Right. Yes. And they would rather have no clothes on. And this was a return to that childlike self where, you know, I didn't have all this bullshit surrounding me or worries or anything like that. And I just want to try to live like that forever.
Amen. The plan is to tour this record a little bit, I assume, and then to maybe make some more music now that you've sort of figured out your pocket for yourself.
Yeah, man, I'm glad you said that. This is definitely the beginning of a chapter, and I feel like it's time for me to get out and play some music because I can't let that part of me not get love, you know? It's ingrained in me to make music for myself and play music for other people as myself.
Right.
So I just did a couple. I did about 5 or 6 shows, and they were awesome. And, it's funny because I was part of a band first, and then I was part of a duo.
Yes.
And then I had to go and completely reinvent and play music for myself. And it's not like people are going to come and hear those songs, right? I don't play them. So I had to build this from the ground up as a solo artist. And I never know if one person's going to show up or a couple hundred. And, you know, they showed up and they came out to dance to this music and music they haven't heard yet. And were equally as happy to hear songs they've never heard, which is wild to me.
Yes.
And fulfilling. And, in the fall, I think I'm going to go out on a support tour. And I'm playing Reggae on the Mountain Festival coming up in August out here. And I kind of want to lead into 2020 being, you know, a festival season for me. I think this music lives at festivals.
Yeah, I think this, I agree. I also think that, you know, we talked about singles earlier, but I think people need to listen to this record from front to back often because of the message and because of just the whole thing. It's just really great. Thanks so much.
I love that. I hope they do. And that's part of the reason I made it, you know, relatively short and only 9 songs and didn't just keep adding songs because
right.
I felt like it was, you know, the sentence was there and complete and the message was there and hopefully it is a digestible amount of music for people in this sort of ADD, OCD, age to take it as one pill.
Thanks, man. Thanks for this and thanks for the record and continued success, dude. We appreciate it.
Dude, I appreciate you so much. Thank you for your time.
So the vibe is consistent. It sounds to these ears at least that Cisco has come home to where he belongs. We all have day jobs to pay the bills, and I suppose when you're super talented, having a hobby that shows off your prowess and passion is a total bonus. It's not entirely a hobby, though. As we've suggested, this is Cisco Adler, naked, wearing just boots, and a cowboy hat. For more stuff, including some great videos, visit ciscoadler.org. Before we leave you, have a listen to Sunday Vibe, featuring friend of the show, G Love.
Da, 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 da.
da 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 da. You got me feeling like a Sunday. Oh, you got me feeling like a Sunday. Every day, every day, every day like a Sunday. You're giving me that Sunday vibe. Sunday vibe, like in the morning, when I'm yawning, a water boiling on the stove, sun will come in through the curtains, but we ain't got no place to go. My favorite song on replay, no traffic on the freeway, baby you get me through my weekdays, you got me feeling like a Sunday. Sunday vibe, la 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 la. You're giving me that Sunday vibe, la 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 la. You're giving me that Sunday vibe. And maybe we can ride, and maybe we can ride, and maybe we can, yeah, 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 yeah. And maybe we can ride, and maybe we can ride, and maybe we can, yeah, 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 yeah.
Waking up easy, I'm looking at your eyelids for the while. Sweet dreaming, wonder what dreams are floating through your mind. You look so pretty in the early morning shine. Feel so warm, lovers in the covers. Don't wake up the baby, but here I call mama. Sunday vibes is easy times is parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. Sugar, it's on me, just give me a list. Honey to do, cause I'll do anything for you, miss. Take a little blue for a Sunday drive. We're living for this feeling called feeling
alive.
You
got me feeling like a Sunday. Oh, you got me feeling like a Sunday. Every day, every day, every day like a Sunday. You're giving me that Sunday vibe.
You've been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and Twitter. The Sound Podcast is part of the Osiris Network. For more, visit OsirisPod.com. Thanks for listening.
Osiris.